ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय उदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 81 टेक्स्ट 35। किंचित् करोति उर्वपि यत् स्वदत्तम् सुहृत्कृतं फल्गुऽपि भूरिकारी मयोपनीतं पृथुकैकमुष्टिम् प्रत्यग्रहित प्रीतियुतो महात्मा। किञ्चित् करोति उर्वपि यत् स्वदत्तम् सुहृत्कृतं फल्गुऽपि भूरिकारी मयोपनीतं पृथुकैकमुष्टिम् प्रत्यग्रहित प्रीतियुतो महात्मा। किञ्चित् करोति उर्वपि यत् स्वदत्तम् सुहृत्कृतं फल्गुऽपि भूरिकारी मयोपनीतं पृथुकैकमुष्टिम् प्रत्यग्रहित प्रीतियुतो महात्मा। किञ्चित् करोति उर्वपि यत् स्वदत्तम् सुहृत्कृतं फल्गुऽपि भूरिकारी मयोपनीतं पृथुकैकमुष्टिम् प्रत्यग्रहित प्रीतियुतो मताजीस् करोति kinchit insignificant. Karoti, he makes. Uru, great. Api, even. Yat, which. Swa, by himself. Dattam, given. Suhrut, by a well-wishing friend. Kritam, done. Falgu, meager. Api, even. Bhuri, great. Kari, making. Maya, by me. Upanitam, brought. Pruthuka, of flat rice. Eka, one. Mustim, palmful. Pratyagrahit, he accepted. Prityutaha, with pleasure. Mahatmana, the Supreme Soul. Translation. The Lord considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant, while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Thus, with pleasure the Supreme Soul accepted a single palmful of the flat rice I brought him. Verse 36. Tasyaiva me suruda sakhya maitri dasyam punarjanmani janmani syat mahanubhavena gunalayena visajjatastat purusha prasanga. Translation. The Lord is the supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life, may I serve him with love, friendship and sympathy. And may I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees. Purport. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sahrudam here signifies affection towards him who is so compassionate to his devotees. Sakhyam is affinity manifested in the desire to live in his company. Maitri is the attitude of intimate comradeship. And Dasyam is the urge to do service. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamishya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanmitamishya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I could speak something which is in line with the parampara, inspiring and something encouraging. We are at Canto 10. It starts with Parikshit Maharaj asking certain questions to Sukhdev Goswami. Previously in the 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj heard Krishna Katha in two verses, last two verses of 9th canto. And thus ends Srimad Bhagavatam, and Parikshit Maharaj would have been tired, not eaten anything. So Parikshit Maharaj then asked questions, encouraging Sukhdev Goswami that do not worry, I am very eager to hear this Katha of Srimad, this Katha of Krishna. You have described to me about the Moon dynasty, Surya dynasty. He is mentioning Moon dynasty first, though the Surya comes first. Why? Because in that the Yadus are born. And in that specifically he is more interested in Yadu Uttama, that is Sri Krishna. He was eager to hear Krishna Katha in much detail. Therefore he requests Sukhdev Goswami to talk in detail about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. And Sukhdev Goswami then continues whole 10th canto describing about Lord Krishna in 90 chapters. In fact, this is the only Puran which has got highest number of chapters dedicated to Krishna's pastime. That's why it's a Mahapuran. To have that qualification of a Puran, 5 topics are necessary, like creation and information about the dynasties and so on. But to qualify as a Mahapuran, there are 10 topics which are necessary to have it. And in that also Srimad Bhagavatam, it has got maximum number of pastimes dedicated to Krishna. So it's very special. And today on this day of Mohini Ekadashi, we are fortunate enough to be discussing on this 10th canto. We are nearing to the end. The 90 chapters, initial first 40 chapters discuss about the Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. Then 11 chapters about Krishna's pastime in Mathura. And then last 40 chapters describes about Krishna's pastime in Dwarka. So we are at the pastime of Dwarka, and that too at 81st chapter. So when Krishna has given up his bows and arrows to fight, even Balaram has given up all the weapons. And they are sitting in the Dwarka. Kurukshetra, the war of Mahabharata has already ended. Everything is over. So Parikshit Maharaj again inquires at the start of the 80th chapter that he wants to hear more about Krishna's pastime. And then Sukhdev Goswami gets inspired to speak about the pastime of Sudama. Remember Sudama Brahman. It's so sweet pastime of Sudama. Then he starts talking about the Sudama, his qualities. And then he describes how Sudama approached Krishna, and currently the thoughts which are there given in the 35th verse in the 81st chapter is about what Sudama is thinking, he's contemplating when Krishna had reciprocated with him. The scene is such that Krishna, when Sudama went to his home state, had a reciprocation and then stayed overnight, and the next morning he set off to his place. Because Krishna never moved out of Dwarka later on, after giving up the weapons. So Sudama went to Dwarka. And then when after getting a reciprocation, he set off for the Dwarka, the question may be asked that why did Krishna did not send some vehicle to send him off to his place? He allowed him to walk. In fact, Krishna went with him to some distance. And then from there, he said him goodbye. But he did not send any vehicle. He could have sent a vehicle at least. Neither he gave anything at that point, but he did not send a vehicle also. So one of the devotees I heard in his class, he was telling that Krishna, he did not give anything because he wanted to achieve something else by glorifying Sudama, by giving him abundance and still saying that, see, he did not ask anything. And another point is that he allowed him to walk because he wanted his Dwarka Nagri to be purified by the dust of the Sudama's lotus feet. So he allowed him to walk. And then Sudama, he reached home. And on the way he is contemplating. Just like in this verse, he is contemplating after getting all the opulences. But before this, there was one more contemplation when Krishna sent him off without anything. And he is thinking that he's cherishing actually the reciprocation of Krishna. thinking that how Krishna reciprocates so mercifully. He embraced me, and who am I? A Dvijabandhu, a friend of a Brahmana, a sinful friend of a Brahmana. What is my qualification? But yet here is the Krishna, the Shriyamprati, who embraced me and shed tears while embracing him, and then allowed him to sit on his, not his bed, his consort's bed, and then massaging his feet and washing his feet, and then taking the charnamrit and putting it on his head, and then he let Rukmini fan Chamara to Sudama, and he made him sit and talk in such a way as if he is his elder brother. And he applied kumkum and then aghuru, sandalwood paste, gave some betel nuts and even the cow. And in that way he reciprocated so nicely. He's remembering all this thing. And he said that Krishna has not given me anything, not a slightest, in the sense that Krishna is going to give him more, as if the acharyas explained. And he has not given me the slightest of the thing. Thinking that if he gives insincere devotee something, he may forget and he may get into sense gratification. So thinking that, he is remembering the sweet pastimes of reciprocation of Krishna. And by the time he reaches his home, the place where his home stood, and he see there something else. The brilliance of the effulgence of the fire and the moon and the Surya. There were palaces and there were buildings. And he saw that, what is this? Seeing the effulgence. Where have I reached? Whose is this? And then when he saw that this is his place, where his home stood, then he thought for a while that, oh, this is my place. And then he understood that this palace has come there. So then he thought that, he reasoned to himself that how all this has come about. Because there he saw there were palaces, there were gardens, and the birds chirping there, having the ponds filled with lotuses that would grow in the night and also in the days. And there were with a full attire the maids, servants, the men and the maid servants standing there. And when they saw, all the maid servants saw Sudama there, they came with a instrument singing and inviting Sudama. And Sudama stuck with them, he was astonished to see that. And these maid servants were, they want to reciprocate, but unless Sudama accept them, how will they reciprocate? So they waited there, and Sudama, when he understood that this is Krishna's desire, that he gave me all this thing, and he wants to reciprocate in that way, Sudama in his mind accepted that. And when all his maid servants saw that Sudama's mind has changed now, he has transformed, he is accepting us as his servant, then they all came forward singing and playing different instruments and inviting him to his home. And this home, when he went inside, it was like 100 pillar bedecked with the emeralds, like the palace which is rivaling that of the Mahendra. He went inside, he saw his wife had just come out. Because his wife came to know that her husband has come. So soon she came out to wish, in the eagerness to see her husband. And she stood in front of him, and the tears started flowing from her eyes in the eagerness and in the gratitude for what Krishna has given and bestowed upon them. And within the heart she embraced Sudama. And then Sudama could not identify his wife. He's thinking, who is this demigoddess coming in this plane to me, such a wretched person, such a poor person? And then he looked at the maid servants and they said that, indeed she is your wife. So then he saw to the demigoddess, and immediately when he heard that she is your wife, such a beautiful wife, Immediately his body also transformed into a young, handsome form, a beautiful form, with all that veins that he had gone on his hand disappeared. And a new energy had come into his body. And seeing that change, he got pleasure. And then, along with his wife, he entered inside the house. Krishna kept him. Krishna did not immediately transform the body of the Sudama, because when the wife comes out, the wife has to recognize her husband also. So because of that, Sudama was not transformed immediately. Only later, his body was transformed. But for his wife, as soon as she woke up from the place where she was sleeping, with the walls that was falling, the roof was on the verge of falling down, in the morning when she woke up, she saw that it's totally changed into a new palatial building. Her body, which was withered, has become so beautiful, bedecked with all the jewels, she's wearing all the ornaments. And she understood that this is the mercy of Krishna, and her husband is about to come. And that's how she was awaiting her husband. And along with the husband, when they both came inside the room, they saw, Sudama saw, that that bed, which was as soft as the foam of the milk, very white in color, and the frame of that bed was made up of ivory, hathi dat, danta, and bedecked with the emeralds and the gold. And the cushions were very soft, and there were couches with the golden legs, and there was a throne made up of gold, and beautiful canopies were there, lying on the, hanging there, with the pearls hanging on it. And there were walls which were covered with the crystal glasses, having the lines and the tinges of the emeralds in that, designed so beautifully. Seeing all these opulences and the varieties, Sudama is thinking, how, he started reasoning, how this has all happened. All these maid servants, they are decorated with the lockets and full attires, the dove-shaped eyes of the women standing there. How this has all happened? He started reasoning. And then he indeed decided that yes, no one else apart from Krishna has done this. Is that the same Uttama Shloka who has made this happen? And then he reasons to himself, but why did Krishna did not give it earlier? When I went to Dwarka, he could have spoken about it. Why he refrained and remained silent and not spoke to me about what he is going to do? He reasoned to himself. That was the last verse before this 35th, 34th. He's thinking, why Krishna did not say about this? And then the 34th verse, which mentions that, he's thinking to himself that after all, my friend Krishna, the most exalted of the Dashahars and the enjoyer of unlimited wealth, notice that I secretly intended to beg from him. Thus, even though he said nothing about it when I stood before him, he actually bestowed upon me the most abundant riches. In this way, he acted just like a merciful rain cloud. And then he spoke about this verse. So now here he is comparing, he's thinking, he's comparing Krishna with the rain cloud. He's thinking, why Krishna did not mention? Then he started reasoning that yes, Krishna did not mention about what he's going to give because he felt that there is nothing for him to give to his friend. Because he understood that what Sudama has brought, this puffed rice, poha, which he did not had anything at his home. And that is the greatest treasure for Krishna. And Sudama did not have anything at his home. And he begged and brought it. So if I have to give something which can compensate this, I have to give something which I don't have. But then, or something which is greater than what I possess. Because Sudama begged with, from something which he did not possess. So I have to bring something which I don't possess. Something greater than that. But what Krishna possesses, nothing can be greater or equal to what Krishna possesses. So then Krishna is thinking, what can I give him now? I have to settle it only with the meager opulence of that of Brahma, Indra and Shiva. Not of Shivji, of Brahma and Indra. So just settle with that. And he's feeling ashamed that I could not compensate or give him enough, reciprocate him nicely. So just like the rain clouds, who were so much indebted to the farmers, because all that they do for the rain clouds, the rain clouds are thinking that I have nothing for them to give. So I will simply, in a silent way, wait for the opportune moment when the farmers are sleeping, and at night I will just give the rain showers. That will not be enough, but at least that I will do. And feeling ashamed about that. So in that way, Sudama is comparing that Krishna is thinking in that way, and in that way he silently just bestowed all these opulences, which he feels that that's not enough. Dashahar's clan, they are very famous for their generosity. And he compares them to the Dashahar clan also. And then now he's telling this verse wherein he says that Kinchit Karoti Uru Yat Swadattam. Swadattam, whatever Krishna gives, he himself gives, how he considers that? Kinchit. Very small. Kinchit Karoti Uru. When he gives something big, he considers it very small. And on the opposite hand, Suhrut Kritam, whatever his friends or pure devotees does, Suhrut Kritam, whatever they do, even though it is Falgu Api Bhuri Bhari, Bhuri Kari, he considers this to be very huge, very big, magnanimous. Mayopanitam Prutukeka Mustim, Maya, by me, Upanitam, who has brought this, Pruthuk Eka. Pruthuk means the chipped rice. Eka Mustim. Just one handful which Krishna ate. Pratyagrahit. He accepted that. Priti Yuto Mahatma. Priti Yutoho. When a very great pleasure, this Mahatma, the super soul of the whole universe, he accepted in a great pleasure. So he's remembering that sweet chipped rice which he had given to Krishna, and how Krishna snatched that from him. How did Sudama give that chipped rice? He was thinking that, he's contemplating that small little chipped rice which I somehow arranged at home. Though I was not eager to go there, to the place, but his wife, she was forcing in the sense, she was imploring in an earnest request, saying that please go and get something. Your friend, even if you stand there, you will get it. Don't worry. So thinking in this way, Sudama, he bahushaha pratito muhu, his wife implored him so much, so based on that, just thinking that I am hi paramo labho uttama shloka darshanam, that what is my lab in going and visiting Krishna, as implored by my wife, that I will get the darshan, uttama shloka darshanam, that is the lab. So he decides, he makes his mind, iti sanchitya manasa gamanaya matim dade, he decided that I will go to meet Krishna. And then he says that upayanam kinchit grihe kalyani diyatam, if there is anything, kinchit is there, the gift is there, please give it to me, to give it to Krishna. And then the wife, she collects, yachitva chaturo mustim, she begs from the nearby places, from the brahmana's house, what she begs? 4 handful of chipped rice, and that too from a different places. And she hands it over to Sudama. And Sudama, taking that, he moves, sets off for the dwarka. And in the meanwhile, he's thinking whether I will be allowed to go there, whether the dwarpals will allow me to go inside. And as soon as he reached there, he entered the 3 gates, the 3 guards of the dwarpal. And then when he entered inside, he saw the houses of the Andhakas and the Vrishnis. Then he again went inside, and there were the palaces of all the 16,108 queens. He passed through that. And then he finally entered one of the palace. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quoting Padma Puran, says that that was indeed the palace of Rukmini. And he stood there in the front of the gate of that palace. And when Krishna saw him, he immediately ran, set off from his bed, ran, embraced him, and shed tears. He invited him home, in his room, inner chambers, made him sit on the bed of his consort Rukmini. And Rukmini was fanning a chamara. And he reciprocated by washing his feet, massaging his feet, applying aghuru, kumkum to his forehead. And then honoring him in this way, he started speaking to him, holding his hand. He's holding the hand and started speaking to him. Because suddenly when Krishna is behaving in such a way to Sudama, Sudama is thinking whether he has recognized me or not. Or was he expecting some other Brahman and suddenly I just came him and he's reciprocating in this way. So Krishna, to make him understand that it is indeed me, I recognized you, he tells him that, do you remember our days in the Gurukul where we both stayed there and we were serving our gurus? And that Guru Mata sent us to bring some firewood, and there we were stuck with the thunderstorm, unseasonal thunderstorm. So that was the winter season. And then when we were on the way and we forgot the way, we stayed there holding those firewoods. And in this way he was conversing with him, sitting, chatting with him. And then the whole day went off in such conversation. And then he's remembering that this, and then the Krishna, he is thinking, who is knowing the heart, Sarva Bhuta Mano Bhigna, is knowing the mind of Sudama. He's thinking that, yes, Sudama, you have come to give, to ask something, and to give me something. So bring out that. I want to bring that out from you. But Sudama is thinking, no, I will not give him. So Krishna is smiling, I'll make you bring out what you have brought. And then his smile turned into laughter. That because Sudama was embraced to tell him that, how can I give the Shriyampati this stale rice to eat? So knowing the heart, Sudama started laughing. And he said that, yes, I am going to make you show what you have brought. How long you are going to keep the precious gift hidden in your cloth? And then he puts his glance over that cloth where that chip rice was there. And then, Premna Nirikshena Neva. He puts his glance and then he says to Sudama, Kim Upanayam Anitam. Upanayam, that gift which Sudama had asked to his wife. He says that, Kim Upanayam Anitam, what you have brought for me. And indeed you have such affection for me, you will not come empty handed. And then Sudama replies in the mind, he's thinking that I'm very embarrassed to show it because it's meager. And Krishna then he says that, Anva api uparitam bhakte premna bhuri eva me bhavet. Similar to this verse, Krishna is confirming to him that Anva api up uparitam bhakte. Anu, even if it is small, uparitam, the gift which is brought by my bhakta, premna bhuri, by love, I consider it to be a bhuri eva me bhavet. For me, it's very big. Bhuri api abhakto uparitam. And even if it is magnanimous, but brought by non-devotees, na me toshaya kalpate. I am not satisfied by that. Now somebody may, and then he was still, he did not agree. And he put his face down, saying that, no, I have decided I will not give you, Krishna, this rice. He decided that, and he kept his head down, remained silent. And then Krishna, to confirm again, he's telling, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati. He's telling that with love, whatever one brings, he mentions twice, Bhakta Prayachati and Bhakti Uparitam. Twice he mentions that. Because he says that, no matter whatever one has brought, something may or may not be impressive or pleasing in its own rice, in its own right. It may not be impressive, it may not be tasty. But when my devotee offers it to me in devotion with expectation that I will enjoy it, I will eat it. Ashnami prayat atmana. Ashnami, I will eat it. By whom? Prayat atmana. When somebody offers it to me with devotion. Last Saturday, we got some Mahaprasad in the evening. They distributed to brahmacharis. Also on Sunday, some sweet. So there was halwa. And then we tasted and the pujari was sitting in front. And we all tasted and some faces went down. And then I looked at pujari and told that Prabhuji, I don't want to throw it. And don't want to give it. At the same time, don't want to eat it also. So what should I do? So pujari said, I have already arranged for myself. He kept in the, there was a plate, another empty plate. So on the side, where some little Mahaprasad was kept, remaining Mahaprasad. So promise plate, he put it there. And he said, I have already arranged for myself. I was thinking, what should I do now? Same thing happened next day, when there was rabdi made on Sunday. And it was burnt out. Totally burnt. And then the devotees beside me, he ate, I ate. And then I asked him, that Prabhu, how much Krishna has to eat, you know, such a taste? And he said, no, Krishna has not eaten this. And when I heard that, I said, wow, it's a good reason for me not to accept. And then when I was reading this verse, that Ashnami, I eat. When he's telling to Sudama that don't think whether something may be impressive or pleasing on its own right or not. But when my devotee offers me in devotion with expectation that I will enjoy it, that gives me great pleasure. So Krishna, do it. But that does not give us a license to cook in whatever way we want to offer. Rabdi can be known when the milk has been burned, anyone can smell it. So from our side, we don't want to offer Krishna. But if a devotee offers him with love, Krishna accepts it. So he's telling to Sudama, don't worry, give it to me, don't think it is stale. And the Sudama, he kept silent. He had decided, I will not give. And then Krishna glances over that cloth and says that, what is this? You are hiding this, not giving it to me, I'll snatch it away from you. And he took that forcefully and ate that handful of rice. And we know that how Rukmini stopped. And in this way, Krishna spent whole night there. And then next day, he set off to Dwarka. Same thing we see with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, for him also, Krishna snatched what he was eating. He was Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born in a very rich family. His family members, his father was Govardhan Mujumdar, and his elder brother was Hiranya Mujumdar. And what was their earning? 12 lakh rupees, or a gold coin that is mentioned here, per annum. So that much rich was this personality who comes from a Kayastha background, a very royal family, Raghunath Das Goswami. And this Raghunath Das Goswami, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his initiation or after his sannyas diksha, when he came to Shantipur, Raghunath Das Goswami met him. And there he told his inner desire that he wants to run away from the home and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here is Raghunath Das Goswami, born in such a rich family, expressing his desire for renunciation. And Krishna said, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't hurry. Just wait for some time. Go to your home. Don't be like a murkat vairagya, like a monkey vairagya. Be at your home, in your ashram. Within the heart, you may think about me, but externally, you are like as if a businessman. Stay in that way. And I am going to Vrindavan. On my way back, you somehow arranged to come to me. I will grant you the intelligence by which you will get an idea how to come back. And when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time and he went back home, he started staying in the way which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him. And then one fine day when he got a news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arrived to Jagannath Puri from Mathura, he immediately decided to go there. But somehow some Muslim ruler created some problem, he had to settle that, and the year passed by. And then again he decided that I have to go. But then his father arranged for 5 brahmanas, 5 bodyguards, 4 people to give him comforts, to look after him, and then 2 brahmanas to cook for him. And in that way he encaged him, he bounded him to that place, not allowed to go him anywhere. And he was very unhappy with this. Somehow, when his spiritual master, Yadunandan Acharya, when he had a conversation with him, was allowed as a family spiritual master, he was allowed to talk to him and go to his place, which was just opposite to his home. So when he went at night with Yadunandan Acharya's place, all the bodyguards were sleeping. And he took that opportunity and ran away from home. And he did not go with the devotees who used to go every year to Jagannath Puri. He did not go with them. He went to a different route and then he landed up there in Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, then he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. He touched the lotus feet. Raghunath Das Goswami touched the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke him and embraced him. And then all others also embraced Raghunath Das Goswami. And then when Raghunath Das Goswami explained that he wants to surrender and his life unto his lotus feet, then he said that, indeed it's a mercy of Krishna that has fallen upon you that you have reached here. You have come out from that bodily conception of life, from that family. Because his family members were so rich that they were feeding all the Naudi Brahmanas. Were so rich. All the remunerations or all the money would come from his family. But still, his Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that although your family members are like Vaishnavas, he called them Vaishnavas but not pure Vaishnavas, because they were feeding the Brahmana, but they had that conception that with all this, I want to enjoy. They were looking for the comforts. So he said that you have saved yourself from that and you have come here. Indeed, that's the mercy. And then he said that Govinda, he handed over him to Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup Damodar, and said that you take care of him, he'll be your man. And then he told Govinda to offer him some food. For 5 days, Govinda offered him some food. Govinda was his personal servant. And then later on, from 6th day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that why he's not coming, he said that he has now gone and he's taking the foods from that Simhadwar. He's begging there. And after few days, he even stopped that, begging from there. And he said that what happened? He said that he's now taking it from the Chhatras, from the charity booth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Because he saw that renunciation. Renunciation is the life of a renounced order. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got very pleased. And then when his father came to know, his father sent some money and servants. And with this, he rejected. Raghunath Das Goswami rejected that. And with some money, he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat at his place for every 2 days. For 2 days in a month. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this for 2 years, later on, Raghunath Das Goswami stopped that also. Why? Because he said that, why should I accept money from some people who are materialistic? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard that, he became very happy. And he gave him a stone, that is a Govardhan Shila, which he was holding within his heart for 2-3 years. And also a conch shell, a garland of conch shell. And when he had that, and Raghunath Das Goswami is remembering how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has reciprocated with him. He gave him his dear most Krishna, which was there in the form of a Govardhan Shila. And then he stopped even eating from that chhatra. And he would go and take out the remnants which was thrown, decomposed by the shopkeeper. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard even that, he came there and he snatched from his hand and said, "What are you eating? You are eating alone, you are not sharing." And he took that. And remembering that reciprocation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Raghunath Das Goswami, he's cherishing. Just like here in this verse, he's cherishing that you have how Krishna, he accepted what he has brought. So Raghunath Das Goswami is cherishing that, and he's telling that
that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me the association of Swarup Damodar. He is begging for the association of Swarup Damodar. He never approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from front, but only through devotees. And that's why in the verse 36, after this, we see that how here Sudama is asking for, he wants the association of devotees. Because the devotees are carrying within their heart Krishna. From Vasudeva's mind, so Vasudeva was carrying. It's not that one has to carry him, it has to be in the womb. If somebody is thinking about Krishna, just like Sudama here is thinking about Krishna, then one is carrying Krishna. Devotees are carrying Krishna, therefore their association is always long. And Vasudeva, when he carries Krishna, he became like insurmountable. Nobody can defeat him. What to defeat him? Somebody, nobody can approach him. Because Krishna was there. So what Kamsa can harm? That Vasudeva who was carrying Krishna within the mind, he then handed over or that transferred it to Devaki's mind. And when Devaki's mind Krishna was carrying, was carried, Kamsa could understand. She has never been so beautiful, so happy. Not hiding or not fearful at all. Kamsa understood, Krishna has to be there. So anyone who is having Krishna within his heart, caring, thinking, contemplating, Krishna is there. Anyone can understand. So he is longing for that association. And Sudama, through this pastime, he is contemplating, we can understand that initially, sadhana bhakti is within his own hand. Krishna reciprocates at the end. But initially, reciprocation comes from the devotees by performing sadhana bhakti. And when he performs sadhana bhakti, then at the end, Krishna, he removes the last traces of anarthas. Just like here we see the Sudama who was having the last trace of attachment to the detachment. He was so much, he was attached to the detachment, that of to the renounced thing, that Krishna, he wanted to remove that trace. And he did that by reciprocating with him in such a loving way. And by remembering in this way how Krishna, he considers whatever small thing that he has given, whatever big thing he has given will be very small, and whatever devotees has given, if though it is small, consider it is so big. He is contemplating that, and with this contemplation, Sudama is getting purified. So it's only by contemplation or by when Krishna reciprocates with the devotees at the end, when we show our sadhana bhakti, then the final traces can be removed only by Krishna. We also see in the pastime of Bali Maharaj that how Sudama did not had anything, but how Krishna reciprocated by taking everything from, by giving him everything. But with Bali Maharaj, Krishna reciprocated by taking everything from him. And that too in front of everyone. In front of Sudama, he just gave in silently. Gave everything, but with Bali Maharaj, he just took everything and he punished him. And in this way, there are many different reciprocation that we see. Even the Drupad and the Dronacharya, when they were both studying in the Gurukul, but at the end, when Dronacharya as a Brahmana approached to Drupad, the reciprocation was not good. In fact, it was adverse, which led to Dronacharya take side. He has to take side of the Arjuna and then bring in that way. He has to go to the Hastinapur. So that's how we see that only Krishna can reciprocate with everyone to the fullest content of all the devotees. What time he will come, what time, in what way he will reciprocate, only Krishna knows. We cannot figure it out. Brahmaji with his forehead could not figure out how Krishna, what he does. He tried to bewilder him, but Krishna met three sets of the gopas. He met three sets of the gopas. One, the original which were there, he kept it aside. Duplicate he kept for Brahmaji to take away. And one, he himself became the gopas. So Brahmaji could not understand what's going on. It's only by Krishna's intervention that Brahmaji got purified. So Krishna has to intervene. But that intervention happens at the end. Initially, one has to show his love towards Krishna by performing the sadhana bhakti. And in this way, we can approach Krishna. Today we also have this beautiful decoration of Krishna coming in the four-handed form. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has taken the mood of Srimati Radharani to taste that mercy or to taste that love for Krishna, he only appreciated Krishna in the two-handed form. Because that's the mood of the gopis. So even when the Chaitanya, when Krishna came in the four-handed form, the gopis could not appreciate that. So here the, when once before the Ras Leela, when Krishna wants to tease the gopis and Radharani, Krishna hid himself behind the bush and then Radharani came there and all the gopis came. When all the gopis came, they saw Krishna in the form of a four-handed Narayan. They all prayed to Narayan, knowing that he is the Supreme Person, and said that, please grant us Krishna's association. And they went ahead. When Radharani came, Krishna, he wanted to have that same humor we had, which he had with the gopis. But he could not hold his two hands. Why? Because of the influence of the love of Srimati Radharani. So that pastime is depicted by the decoration today. And we have a wonderful Chandan Yatra which is going on. Is the since last Monday when it started, the same day when Sudama approached Krishna to the Dwarka. And only few days are remaining. So we have this wonderful Chandan Yatra also going on. So I thank you all for your patience listening. Hare Krishna. We don't have time, so we'll not take the questions. And Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada ki.